another Jaw Law Podcast episode. I'm your host, Joe McGregor, coming to you from Dallas, Texas. Today, we're going to be talking about employment agreements again. But before I do that, I wanted to mention that if you have anything that you want us to cover, go to our website at www.jawlawpodcast.com or shoot me an email to joe@jawlawpodcast.com. We'd love to hear your thoughts, or if you just have feedback, we'd love to hear it. But particularly if you've got a topic you want us to cover, then let's hear it, and we will do our best to cover it. Just make sure it has something to do with dentistry and the law. So like I said, today we're going to cover employment agreements, and we're going to cover something that people want to hear about, but they want to hear about it too late in the game. When people are getting into a dental contract, they're focused on the things that are going to matter to them during the relationship, and that makes total sense. You want to know how much you're getting paid, how you're getting paid, things like that. But people aren't as focused about what's going to happen when you're ready to move on, whether it's because you're going to buy a practice or start a practice or just work for someone else. The thing that comes to most people's mind is, of course, the restrictive covenant, and that is important, but there's more to it than that. And I've identified three things that we're going to talk about. Now, before I go too far, I want to acknowledge that clearly there are more than three things to think about. These are just probably the three things that come up the most, especially in the context of people who are about to start a practice or to buy a practice, and they're gearing up to transition. They're working at this practice, and then they're going to buy that practice, and they're wondering, what are my obligations when I stop working for my employer and I start working for myself, or sometimes just working from one employer to the other. But these three things are things that you need to look at before you ever sign the contract. I'm going to talk to you about these in terms of easiest to deal with in the contract to most difficult to deal with in the contract. And the first thing is your last paycheck. You need to be vigilant on what can come out of your last paycheck, or, you know, it shows up in a couple of different ways, but what kind of money are you going to owe the practice when you leave? Now, the answer should be nothing. But we see contracts all the time that will give the practice the right to make adjustments to your final paycheck or your final paychecks. We'll even see contracts that will say, hey, when you stop, we don't owe you any more money. And that would mean if you're on collections and there's a 2 or 3 month payment cycle there, you may be out 2 or 3 months worth of money. That's not as common, but what is common is we'll see a practice will say, when you're due your last paycheck, we have the right to go through and make sure that everything's okay. We have the right to make adjustments for cases that are going to be finished by other dentists. We have the right to charge back anything that we think that you messed up on, whatever it is. Our main problem is the position, the leverage that you have. Even if these items are legitimate, having it in your contract authorizes or at least puts into position your employer to make adjustments, and you no longer have any leverage over your employer. They don't have to make you happy anymore because you're not there. What this means is you're left to the good faith of your employer to make these adjustments. Many states will have rules about what kinds of things they can withhold from your final paycheck or final paychecks. So don't give your employer more than the law wants to give them. But at the end of the day, it's kind of my point is, even if it's legitimate, you just want to deal with that stuff separately. You don't want to let them take it out of your paycheck. You'd rather them just send you a letter and say, hey, we had to do X, Y, and Z. Here's the documentation for it. And then you deal with it, two separate issues. Paycheck on the one hand, deal with it on the other. The next issue is continued treatment. And this is a big one. Sometimes this makes sense, but for the most part, you don't want to stop working for a practice and have a provision that says, well, all the cases that you started here, you're going to have to finish. Now, to some practices, this is going to be much more consequential than others. First of all, we just don't think that this is appropriate for any contract. We think your last day needs to be your last day. There's all kinds of questions that have to be answered if you just keep rolling this contract on and on and on. Some of the questions include, are you entitled to certain benefits if you keep coming back to the practice? And probably the one that comes up the most is, when does my restrictive covenant start? Is it the day I officially terminated, or is it the time I came back 3 months later to finish this one case? It just opens up a can of worms that you just don't want to go down that road. So your last day needs to be your last day. I think one of the places where I see it a lot is when a particular associate has a certain skill set that the owner or other associates don't have. And so you'll see an employer say, hey, you're the only guy who can do this, and so we need you here to finish these cases. And if you have to do that, you just need to make sure that you take care of it in the contract. You don't want to open this door to further work and have it stretch out your restricted covenant, or maybe you're not even getting paid for that work. Either way, you just have to button that up sometimes. We say this is a little harder to deal with just because it's a little more unpredictable, and it takes looking down the road quite a bit to figure out how you're going to address this. Now, the final contract issue that we see when people are terminating is the wind down period. The easiest way to think about this is if your contract has a 90-day termination clause. So if you're required to give a 90 days notice, what's going to happen the day after you give that notice? So for the next 89 days, depending on the dynamics of the practice, so that depends on like what type of patients you're treating, how long you've been there, what kind of relationship the patients have with you, also what other type of support is there? That is, are there other associates? Does the owner work on the same patients, or are you the only person there? These are all things that factor into this, but there is certainly a scenario where the ownership doesn't want to continue giving new cases to you. And a lot of that makes sense. They want to start the transition period pretty quickly and make sure that those patients are going to be taken care of. And if they're going to require follow-up visits, they might as well just start on the dentist who is going to complete the project. And all that makes sense, but that means you're going to be working for the next 90 days. And during this wind down period, you're going to get fewer and fewer cases, and you're just going to be required to stand there or sit there and not do very much. And if you're paid on production or collections, like unless you're getting a daily rate, that's not going to be very economically productive for you. So what we encourage is to find a way to, first of all, shorten down the notice period if that's appropriate, but also find some language that's going to say that you're basically going to keep the same procedures that you have had the entire time. This concept is further complicated, really, because very few contracts will promise a certain level of patience. And so even if you have language in the contract, it does get a little hard to police. It's hard to really hold a practice to this because there hasn't been exact promises made. Nevertheless, it does need to be something that's discussed and to be looked at. And, so for instance, if you're going to have a 90 days requirement, you're going to ask the practice to schedule you just as you always have been scheduled, or you're going to begin a wind down process, and that if you move to a certain threshold below which you're not really being productive, then you have the option of terminating earlier. You know, just something, there needs to be a plan, and it's going to depend on the practice, and it's going to depend on the employee to figure out what's appropriate for you and the practice, but it just needs to be something thought about. And so what we tell clients is just assume that this contract's going to end at some point, because it will. That's what's going to happen. At some point, you're no longer going to work for that employer, and you need to try to work out as many scenarios as possible, even a few that you don't expect to happen, but you need to work through them, and you need to make sure that you're thinking just as hard about the end of this contract as you are the beginning. And that's our podcast for today. Like I said, please send us an email or fill out our contacts page and let us know what topics you want to hear. We'd love to cover them. We've got a whole law firm full of attorneys who focus on the business of dentistry and cover different areas. And so if you've got questions about real estate or trademarks or employment or whatever, we'd love to tackle it and talk about it on our podcast. We'll see you next time. Thanks so much. Take a look.